I am very, very excited here to welcome John Troutman to the show. He is the senior editor of court.com. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you tonight?
Doing very well. We are trying to enjoy some wine. We were eagerly awaiting your arrival, and we're very, very excited. A little background about us. We're basically disgusting garbage, and we want to not look like disgusting garbage. We want to try to class up our image a little bit, and I think the surefire way to do that is to maybe know a little bit more about wine.
Well, I'm more than happy to try and help out a little bit and you know, class it up, as you like to say.
Yeah, we want to class up our act. We want to make our show just at least seem a little classy. But before we get into that, you're from a site, corked.com, that's corkd.com. Anybody who's listening right now or who downloads this, you should really go there and create an account because they're doing some great things. And the difference between them and any other site is that they can get you into wine, they can get you appreciating wine, without it being such a pretentious, snooty thing. And I noticed that now, John, you're starting to get into the content game a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, we're like you said, we're just trying to keep it unpretentious. We want to, you know, it, like any other alcoholic beverage, people don't have any problem ordering a beer at the bar. We don't want people to have an issue with, you know, walking into a restaurant and ordering a glass of wine. It's the same thing. Gets you, loosens you up a little bit. Everybody has a good time with it, and it's no different than any other drink. So,
John, why do people make it like that, though? Why do they make it so pretentious and to the point where the other people who are not into wine feel inferior?
You know, I think it goes back years and years and years, and it's really just the way the industry has shaped it. But we're here to shake things up. You know, it's definitely got a long history and kind of had a stigma associated with it. And it's, you know, people think you have to keep your pinky in the air when you raise your glass, but we're here to shake things up and change that perception.
I bought a bottle of wine, and I think, Frank, you said you bought some too, but it was in a plastic bottle,
well,
though.
What difference does that make? It's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wait, I'm sorry, Frank, what did you say?
It's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Why are you trying to French up the last part?
Because it's a French wine, so you're supposed to say, you're supposed to pronounce it Cabernet Sauvignon.
Now, John, can you correct him, please?
Yeah, so he's definitely got the last part of it right. He's right about the French pronunciation, but it's Cabernet. You're going to drop the E-T.
Oh. Now, Frank, try saying that, please.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Very good.
Now, what is that? What is that? What is the word? Is Cabernet a generic term? What does Cabernet mean?
So that's the name of the grape, and like you said, it's definitely got a French background to it. It is from a region in France, the Bordeaux region of France.
So you actually, Frank, you went for a Cabernet Sauvignon, as you like to say. What is the make or the winery? What is the actual type of wine?
The brand, it's called Sutter Home Family Vineyards.
Now, John, I'm guessing you've probably heard of this.
I have. Yep. Sutter Home is like the Coca-Cola of the wine world, I guess you could call it, or one of the Coca-Colas of the wine world. It's definitely one of the bigger brands. People are pretty familiar with it.
Is it a good wine, typically? Excuse me.
I have not tasted much of it recently. It's definitely got a reputation as you know, a large producer. They're pretty popular. People do like their wines a lot.
Would you say that, like, if they're a large producer, that they're either really, really good or just really, really cheap?
I think that's fair to say. I'll give you that.
Okay, so Frank, how much did you spend on the bottle?
They had a sale on this one. It was if you buy a bottle of shampoo, you they give you a bottle of wine.
Where did you buy this?
This was at a pharmacy, a local store here in the area, and they had. But the thing is, they had the bottles.
Wait, and hold on. Why are you buying shampoo? You have no hair. You're bald.
I was buying it for my wife. No. But the thing is, they were in like a bin. They had like bottles in a bin. And they're plastic bottles, so it's easy for carrying. It's not heavy, which I like. And if you drop it, it won't break. So, and it's got a screw top.
Okay. Well, now, John, the age-old cork versus screw top thing, is that pretty much done at this point?
You know, there's nothing wrong with screw tops. And I'll tell you right now, it's definitely, again, it's one of those things in the industry that people have a real stigma with screw tops, or they had for a long time. At this point, though, you can get some of the best wine you'll ever drink right from a bottle that has a screw top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole cork thing, it's definitely got that romantic thing associated with it. Impress the ladies, bring home a bottle of wine and pop that cork. But you know, you can throw all that out the window. The screw caps are definitely, they're here to stay. They do just as good a job keeping the bottle of wine fresh, and they're definitely going to be around for a while.
Now, John, the thing with me is, you know, I'm going to be approaching a milestone age in about a month or so.
Why don't you tell John what that age is?
It doesn't really matter.
It's 40.
Okay. And I, you know what? I feel embarrassed when I go out to a social gathering and everybody's ordering wine and I'm ordering a Diet Cola with no lemon. And I'm a beginner. I'm a beginner when it comes to wine and tasting and whatnot. Is there a beginner wine? Is there a wine that is less strong that you can just wet your whistle and sort of break your cherry on? Is there such thing?
Well, you know, to start off with, what I would tell you to do if you want to get into wine is taste as many wines as you possibly can. And, okay. You know, that can be fun. A lot of people aren't going to you know, deny that idea because it's fun to do. So really, never order the same glass of wine or the same bottle of wine twice. Just try as many different wines as you possibly can. That being said, if you're looking for a good wine to start with, I usually tend to advise people to try Riesling, which it's a white wine. A lot of the time people think it's, you know, it's kind of a girly wine, but I would throw that notion out the window. And it's a great wine for a couple of different reasons. One, it's really good to go with food. It's a really food-friendly wine, so like you said, if you're going out to dinner, if you want to impress somebody, you can order a bottle of Riesling and you'll do okay. And it's also got a lot of them have a hint of sugar in them, which makes them, you know, they have that delicious factor, makes them taste good. Everybody's got a little bit of a sweet tooth, so there's a couple of reasons why Riesling's a good option.
So now, it's a bit of a sweeter wine, and it's good, and it is also approved by the hip-hop community. As Kanye West quoted that he was beasting off the Riesling.
That's right. Beasting off the Riesling. You got that right.
That's right. And now, the sweeter wines, whenever I'm out like with my family, they'll call it, oh, I'll have the girly wine. I'll have the candy wine. The dessert. People really do break down a sweeter wine as being something less, something a little more feminine. Is that similar to the cork and screw top debate? Is that kind of done with as well?
You know what? Again, it's something everybody's got to kind of put aside and you know, give up on it, because even if it is girly, the wines are amazing. They're, you know, a lot of the time they're considered some of the best wines in the world. It's like you said, it's like the cork versus screw top thing. People need to reshape the way they're thinking.
Okay.
John, you know what I always was wondering, and a lot of times you'll see this on TV or in movies or something, and the waiter will name the wine and the year, and then the guy will say, oh, that was a good year. What does that mean? Oh, that's a good year. What does that mean? Oh, that's a good year. What does that mean?
So, you know, unlike soda and unlike, you know, beer and some of these other products, wine is, you know, it's just like a vegetable. It's grown every year, and based on the season, it's gonna have some variability, and depending on what the weather conditions give them. So, certain years in certain regions are gonna have, you know, better grape quality, and which eventually turns into the wine. So, depending on what the growing season is like, the wine is gonna be a little bit different year in and year out.
Okay. Now, what would you – so you recommend a Riesling? Because, Frank, when you go out and decide to let your lack of hair down and have a drink or two, it's always what someone would call a girly drink or some kind of a girly cocktail, like a melon ball or a
Jolly
Rancher.
Malibu Bay Breeze. Yeah. I have no problem with sweet drinks. I think that would probably suit me well.
So you might do very well with the Riesling.
Right.
But now, John, what about someone who is really just strictly plain beer? They go out there, they like their Miller Lite, they like their High Life. They like just basically garbage crap beer that has fancy logos printed on labels. And they want to get into wine. What is something that they could take off of a shelf and try out?
All right. So, you know, going off the whole beer idea, you talk about Miller Lite and Miller High Life and kind of transitioning from those going into the wine scene. I definitely want to push everybody to drink more sparkling wine. I think, you know, a lot of people think it's a category that can only be drank when you're hosting a wedding or when you're celebrating the birth of a child. But sparkling wines are the most underrated wine category in the world of wine today. So that being said, you don't have to spend $100 on a bottle of champagne to get a good quality bottle of sparkling wine. There's, you know, the cava category, which is sparkling wine from a region in Spain.
Okay.
That you can get a really high quality bottle of wine for $8, which, if you're doing the math, that translates into probably a better value than Miller Lite or Miller High Life. It's got that carbonation behind it, so it's going to go down a lot like beer, but you're going to look a lot better drinking it if you pull it out at a dinner party or with your friends.
Yeah, nothing like pulling out your own bottle opener and taking care of a beer bottle. Nothing looks worse. But if you do have that wine glass and maybe some sparkling wine in it, that might actually be very good. John, you're getting a lot of compliments in our chat rooms here on Pal Talk and on HeroesTalk.com. For those who don't know, for those who just tuned in, we're talking to John Troutman, the senior editor of Corked.com at CORKD. If you're not a member, definitely sign up. Check out some of the new content that they have coming up. I think by year end, Gary Vee's pushing to turn this thing into like the number one resource of all wine content ever. Because no one thinks bigger than Gary Vee. What are you guys doing to make this happen so that your content is better than anybody else's?
Yeah, so like you said, you know, Gary definitely got a reputation as a guy that really knows his wine, and he's done an awesome job kind of embracing a whole slew of wine drinkers. Everybody from, you know, the guy who is transitioning from beer into wine to somebody who's been drinking wine their whole life and knows a whole ton about it. But he's only one guy. So really what we're doing at Corked is we have a whole community of wine writers and wine experts who are writing articles on a daily basis for us. We're publishing anywhere right now between 5 and 10 articles on current events in the wine world, you know, different wine suggestions, just ways to kind of introduce people to new things that are going on in the world of wine. So we have a number of really good guest contributors, some people who write in a really fun way, really unpretentious way. A lot like you guys, we just keep it easy, we keep it fun, we just have a good time with wine writing.
Good.
So it's cork.com, good place to check out, get a little bit of wine info, and hopefully help you guys pick out a good bottle to drink.
I mean, we've been on it for ever since we were looking for someone to reach out to maybe give us some knowledge, and we discovered Corked. And we've created our profiles. I'd encourage any of the listeners out there to sign up and look for us on there. I'm DJ New Style, and Frank is Germ Freak. And add us on there, and let's get started doing this. I will post my Annabella wine on there after the show tonight. I don't know. Have you ever... The wine I chose was a Pinot Noir, Carneros Pinot Noir from Annabella. I've never heard of it. I saw a very high score, a 92... But it was $14, so I think I got kind of taken a little bit on this.
Yeah, hey, you know what? 92-point scores are awesome, and, you know, the point systems are awesome, but really all that matters is do you like it? So, you know, if you open it up and it's a $10 bottle of wine, you think it's crap and you taste it and you love it, more power to you. And, you know, a lot of the time on the other end of the spectrum, you can buy a $100 bottle of wine, you'll taste it, and it's going to taste like absolute crap. So
yeah.
it's really all about what tastes good to you and whether you like it or not. Don't listen to anybody else.
Now Frank, have you opened your bottle yet? I'd like you to try some.
I'm going to open it up right now as we speak. Now
John, he's never done wine tasting.
I've never really done this before.
So maybe now, could you give him the broad strokes of doing this? Obviously, Frank, first step, pour it in the glass.
I pour it. Now, John, do I pour it to the brim?
I wouldn't pour it to the brim. Depending on how big your glass is, I would pour, you know, maybe a sixth of the bottle in there. You know, maybe just a few ounces in the glass.
Okay. Now, I notice on TV they'll bring it down to the light and they'll shimmy the glass a little bit and look at the smell the bouquet. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the smell of the wine, the bouquet, as you call it, and as, you know, a lot of snooty people in the wine world will call it. I like to just call it, you know, the nose of the wine.
Yeah. You get your nose deep in there.
Stick your nose all the way in the glass as far as you can.
Ooh, it's strong.
Frank,
wow.
you have to stick it so far in that you see a glass rim form around your nose, finishing on your upper lip. Almost bruise yourself. You have your nose in that deep.
That's right, yeah. Don't be afraid. Get your nose right in there and give it a good smell.
Yeah, I've seen wine tasting programs, and a lot of times the people will just put the wine in their mouth, swish it around, just spit it out in a bucket. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. A lot of the time, if you're going to be drinking a whole crap load of wine, you'll definitely want to have a sip bucket there. Otherwise, you'll end up stumbling out of your wine tasting. But if you're just having a glass, a sip bucket on hand.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take a sip of it.
Now, Frank, the idea is that since you don't have a full glass, you should swirl. I've seen this on Gary's show, Wine Library TV, winelibrarytv.com. He swirls the glass around just a little bit gently to get, like, the air going in it. Mm-hmm. And John, step in and correct me anytime I say something stupid. I'm a novice, okay? Swirl it around. Stick your nose in and smell it. And then, like, start talking about things that you smell, whether like types of wood or berries.
Meat. I smell a little bit of like a cherry Jolly Rancher.
Okay.
A little bit.
See now, well, let me back up, Frank. John. Frank has an incredible nose because he has very smelly sneakers, and just last week. He finally identified the smell. It was garlic and herb alouette cheese.
Right.
So he already has a mindset to compare scents with actual products.
Which is the biggest thing in the world because, you know, a lot of the time, you know, people think that they have to pick up certain smells like, you know, rose petals and things like that. But really, you need to just go based on your past experience. So if you're getting sweaty sock, then... say it. Chances are that's probably what you're smelling in the glass.
And chances are, if you're in Frank's house and you're sipping wine near his feet, you are definitely smelling sweaty sock.
Now, wine is really just grape juice, isn't it? It's just grape juice with alcohol in it. Is that correct?
What?
Well, they don't just take grape juice and mix it with alcohol. What they do is they
take Welch's.
They essentially take grape juice and they let it ferment.
Yeah.
So if you were to take, you know, even a glass of Welch's grape juice and let it sit for long enough, eventually it's gonna ferment and it's gonna take on alcohol in the glass.
John, it's completely okay to laugh at him because the idea that he pictures somebody pouring like a barrel of alcohol into this vat of grape juice is pretty impressively dumb.
I was going to say, I don't think he's alone. I think a lot of people probably aren't too familiar with the way that wine is actually made. So it's not as dumb as you might think.
Well, I mean, there are...
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but there are a lot of kids in high school that just leave apple juice and grape juice out with the hopes of getting alcohol by the end of the school year. I've seen this happen firsthand. They're idiots too, but at least they know how it works. Frank is 40 years old and thinks that people are putting rubbing alcohol with Concord grape juice. Now, Frank, go ahead and sniff the wine. And again, you said you smelled cherry Jolly Ranchers. Did you smell anything else?
A little bit, perhaps a little bit of a licorice, if you will.
Okay.
And maybe some balsa wood.
Wow! Balsa wood, cherry Jolly Ranchers, and licorice.
Now, should I take the sip now, or?
Yeah, So now
when I take the sip, do I let it like remain in my mouth? Like do I let it flow along my gums and my uvula, or do I just swallow it right away?
No, I want you to take it and swish it around in your mouth like it's mouthwash.
Okay, here it goes.
A lot of the time, you know, people are pretty hesitant and they think they need to just kind of, you know, put it on their tongue and then swallow. I want you to swish it around like it's Listerine first thing in the morning.
No, gargle it. Swish it around. Okay, what did you detect?
Now my mouth is alive right now. It's my mouth, the my jowls sprang up. My mouth is very puckered, and I feel a revitalization of my gums and whatnot.
Okay, but what do you taste? It's not nerve tonic. It's wine.
I'm tasting rubbing alcohol. It tastes like rubbing alcohol. That's what I'm tasting right now. But let me take another sip.
It's a rousing endorsement for Sutter Home. But you can get free shampoo with it, so that's excellent.
Well,
you know, the rubbing alcohol, you might not be too far-fetched from. A lot of the time, if you're getting a bad bottle of wine, you're going to end up tasting some rubbing alcohol in there.
There's no sweetness. It's just very – it's very strong. It's very like almost 100% proof alcohol. There's no flavor to this. There's no texture. There's no aroma. There's no it just tastes like alcohol. There's no – I try to separate the alcohol from the wine. I don't taste the wine. I only taste the alcohol.
You're probably 100% right, and I love that you acknowledge it and you realize you don't like this wine. What I would tell you to do is dump it down the drain, because life is too short to be drinking crap wine.
Awesome.
And I would tell you to open another bottle of wine and give it a shot.
Frank, do you have another bottle of wine?
I have another bottle of wine. I have Jose Reyes Cabernet.
Wait, Jose who?
Jose Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S.
Wait, Jose Reyes?
Oh, yeah, Jose Reyes.
Since
Cabernet.
The Mets shortstop?
Yes.
Since when did he
California
have a vineyard?
Cabernet Sauvignon Long Ball, collector's edition.
Wait, Jose Reyes has a vineyard?
His face is on the bottle.
John, have you ever heard of this? Jose Reyes from the Mets?
You know what? I haven't. I'm a Red Sox fan, so I haven't drank any Mets wine, but I have heard of some Red Sox players that have their own line of wine. So,
like Mike Greenwell has a very nice Chardonnay.
I tweeted the bottle of I tweeted the photo on my Twitter, so you can take a look at it. But well, what about Ken? Are you going to take a taste, or?
I've been tasting, but I will do the official thing here, and I have some poured out of my Pinot Noir that I bought off the discount rack that claimed to have a 92-point score. Here we go. I'm going to swirl it around. I want to oxygenate the wine. I'm going to pretend to be an expert. I'm going to really posture myself, as radio personalities tend to do when they know nothing about it. They talk very authoritatively about it. Here we go. I've swirled. And now, as Gary Vee would say, I'm going to take a sniffy sniff. So here we go. Stick my huge nose inside the glass if it fits. I'm getting wine. I don't have the – I don't think I can pick apart stuff like that. But let me just take a – maybe some like some oak tree and like a varnish from wood shop, and a little bit of like red grape skin, like the skin. Okay, here we go. Hold on, and then the mouthwash thing. Here we go. Hold on. Okay, my mouth is on fire right now. Hold on. Yeah, and you know, it kind of tastes exactly like it smells, like a varnish fight while putting together some kind of a spice rack that your mom's not going to use. And, I take, like, lead, a little lead, pencil lead, and, generally nothing really good. This seems like I'm not enjoying this. I would give it a zero. I'm very binary. I either love it or I hate it, and I don't really like this. I'll continue
you're down
drinking.
On this line.
I'm down. I'm way down on Annabella Special Edition Carneros Pinot Noir. Now I'm not spitting it into a spit bucket. I am actually drinking the wine, so maybe this could just really change the mood of the show as we progress. Is this a normal thing? You know, a random wine I just picked off the shelf. I have no idea what it tastes like. Is it? What's the percentage of finding something great?
You know, I think it's a little bit different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time there's a certain style of wine that people tend to like. So, you know, if you discover that you really like Pinot Noir, you might want to try some different Pinot Noirs from different regions. See what you really like and what you really don't like. But, you know, every bottle is a little bit different. Sometimes, you know, you may even buy the same brand of wine in the same year two times in a row. And one time you'll taste the wine and it'll be great. And the next time you'll taste it, it'll be like crap. And I think so often that depends on what the situation is. You know, if you're drinking wine with 10 of your best friends, and if you're at a great dinner party or you're at a great party at your friend's house, chances are the wine's going to taste better than when you're sitting at home after a long day and you just got home and your boss is yelling at you all day and you got screaming kids in the background and you got a wife that's breathing down your throat. So it's definitely a situational thing.
I bet you if I was with some friends consuming this wine and not in a darkened bedroom doing a podcast, I might enjoy this a little bit better, but I don't think much more. I think part of this is that, like, I hear Pinot Noir. I hear it. It's like it seems to be like and again, I'm not in the wine community at all, but from what I hear, this is like an it wine almost.
You got that right. Yeah. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the movie Sideways, but that pretty much put Pinot Noir on a pedestal, and people are drinking it like it has the cure inside now.
So it could have been any wine that what's his name liked. And that would have been it. So now people watch that movie, or they saw it in 2005, as I did, and maybe that's where I'm subconsciously pulling this from. I'm like, oh, well, I need a wine. I go for Pinot Noir. But maybe I should just go, I should just break down and go with the Rieslings or the dessert wines or anything like that.
Definitely, yeah. I would just tell you to drink as many different things as you can. Eventually, you'll kind of bring your palate to a point where you know what you really like and what you don't like, mm-hmm. and from there it just gets easier and easier to make a pick when you're in the wine shop.
Now, Frank, what are you doing?
I'm doing is I'm pouring the bottle of Jose Reyes his finest.
I bet you it smells like now, sweat and you know baseball
what?
Glove webbing.
It's a lot more. Vibrant in color. It's a more of a rosé, where the other one was more of a deep purple. This is a little more of a rosiness to it.
Okay.
Which now does that mean it'll be sweeter, John, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. No. It may be a little bit of a lighter wine. It might not be as heavy. And I think you said with that wine, it was really it felt like there was like a spice in your mouth, and that it was
right.
So that it might be an indication of it being a lighter wine, but that's not a promise.
Okay, I'm gonna.
All right, you swirl, sniff, sip. Don't gargle, but swish, and then now tell us what you're tasting and smelling, Frank.
Okay, this is much much milder. It's very subtle. It's milder, however. Again, with the Sutter Homes, I just taste alcohol. I don't taste any of the flavorfulness of the wine itself.
Did you smell anything different? Is it just Jolly Ranchers and rubbing alcohol?
It really just tastes like rubbing alcohol. I want to taste the grapes. I don't want to just taste the alcohol.
So that's what it is. Now, John, are you enjoying any wine through this nerve-wracking interview of explaining wine to complete noobs?
You know, I'm actually drinking a Pinot Noir right now from California as well. So
by any chance, is it Annabella 2008? I hear it's an amazing year.
It's not Annabella, but it's from a place called Heart of the Mountain, which I just found out was actually the grapes that are grown there was on a plot of land formerly owned by Alfred Hitchcock, the famous film director.
Okay. So how does that one, what flavors do you get out of that one?
You know, I get, I'm smelling it right now, and it's got kind of like a peppermint candy thing to it.
Okay.
Which I like very much. It's, and then when I'm tasting it, I get kind of like a very tart red cherry type thing, a red cherry and cranberry type thing going on.
See, I wish I could drink this and say, oh, I taste berries and I taste the Christmas cake, but I really just taste punishment. So I'm going to continue drinking this throughout the evening just to punish myself for all the missteps I've made in my life, and then I'll wake up regretting it, which I think is the true way to enjoy shitty wine. If I had a good wine as you have, and as I will be purchasing, then I will savor it and I will be able to dissect the components in the flavor. But for now, I think I'm only going to just turn my tongue into saw paper or sandpaper. Wow. Maybe I should cut back on the old cough medicine for a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't punish yourselves too much. Maybe just kill a glass and then move on to the next wine.
Yes, exactly. Now, Frank, I did not buy another wine. You were given the Jose Reyes wine, and you had the Sutter Home.
The Sutter Home.
Now, none of this is anything that interests us as far as the wines we've picked.
And I think that's, you know what, I think that's my problem. The reason I'm not into wine is because I haven't found a wine that I enjoy.
That leads into what I wanted to talk about here. Now, John, maybe if we knew good choices for what we were into eating, maybe that would be something great. If we were to give you some of the things that, like, some of our favorite foods, do you think you'd be able to give us a decent starting point?
Definitely. It's I think all too often people don't consider what they're going to be eating for dinner, and they just walk into the wine shop and they think either red or white, and they just blindly choose one. But I think it's definitely something people need to consider more is what they're going to be eating for dinner or what they're having for lunch to go with their wine.
But they should always consider this number one rule here for choosing a wine, selecting a wine. Number one, don't pick the wine with the New York Met on the label. So don't do that. Some of our favorite stuff here. Obviously, there's like, you know, the usual, the steak, the chicken, and all that. But what about a Qdoba chicken burrito bowl with fajita vegetables and guacamole?
Burrito. You know what? I think Mexican food, a lot of the time, it's got a spiciness to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, something with a little bit of spice. I would say a Gewürztraminer, which is a little difficult to say, a little difficult to spell, but if you walk into any reputable or any good wine shop, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a great wine. It's got it can have a little bit of a sugar level to it, which sweetness can balance off the spiciness, but it's also got a spicy flavor to it, which just matches really well with Mexican food.
Okay. Now, Frank, did you have a meal that you wanted to?
What about good old-fashioned pizza?
Pizza. You know, all too often people grab the cheap Chianti and pour it with pizza. And, you know, it makes sense because Italian wine a lot of the time does go well with Italian food. But I would tell you to go somewhere, you know, just nearby, but not in Chianti, which is the Sangiovese grape. It grows right in Tuscany. It's actually what Chianti is made from. But a lot of the time, if you spend, you know, $5 for a bottle of Chianti, you're not going to get the best wine in the world.
Yeah.
So stick with the same grape, which is Sangiovese, and from the region of Tuscany, but don't necessarily go for Chianti.
Okay. Now, Frank has been trying to lose a little bit of weight. So in doing that, he's one of his favorite meals now has been the Lean Cuisine dinner. What would you pair with 4 to 5 Lean Cuisine dinners eaten at one time?
I would pair with 4 to 5 different glasses of wine. in order to choke those down, you're going to need a pretty good buzz going.
Yeah, and definitely something to try and absorb the salt. because they're very, very high in sodium. Now, John Troutman, senior editor of corked.com, that's CORKD.com. You need to sign up there. If you're not already, sign up there now. Add Frank and I, and of course John, and let's get going on this wine thing. I think I'm going to try a new bottle every week, and I'm going to maybe post something up on there. And maybe we can get some content going. Maybe I can get to the point, John, where I'm one of your contributors, and I have some kind of knowledge of this, and I educate a complete bum, moron, disgusting person, as I used to be before this interview. John,
guys, I would absolutely love to have one of you as a contributor, and yeah, definitely check out the site. We got a whole bunch of wine content on there, some new, you know, up to the minute type news information, things going on in the wine world. And definitely add me as a friend, because we all need a drinking buddy.
Absolutely will. And do us a favor and say hello to Gary V for us. And of course, and say what's up to Ranga too. Thank you.
Will do. We'll send our love along.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
I think I learned a lot, Frank. Thanks again, John. I appreciate it. Thank you. And Frank, do you think you learned anything from that? You're going to try?
Absolutely.
Are your doors open to wine now?
I'm actually looking forward to tasting new wines and experiencing the varieties on my tongue.
But no more Cabernet Sauvignon?
No.
Okay. Why don't we take a break here? This is the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your what, Frank?
Thing you do with...
He almost choked. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
And the place to be.